A good point. And also, so the homes along Ivy and along Fremont are in a conservation district?
Yes, they are.
Thank you. Other questions? Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Carly, do you have more people signed up?
Two more. Kevin Retalia and Alan Redwick.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Council. Wow. I don't know where to really take off from that, but I guess what I could
just
say...
Just by putting your name into the record.
Oh, Kevin Retalia.
Thanks,
sorry.
Kevin.
I live on Fremont Street as well. I think you've pretty much heard exactly what you need to hear. What I'm going to represent is the rest of the voices in our neighborhood that weren't able to be here today. Many of my neighbors could not get off work to come in today. I have a few neighbors who are in school still that actually do own their own homes, which is great. People who can, you know, have to stay home and take care of their children. They just couldn't make it here. The timing was bad. You know, there is a voice out there, and I just wanted to let you know that still exists. We want to set a precedent for not having other neighborhoods have to go through what we're going through. We don't want this to spread. Yesterday, we held a small event on the corner called Red Balloons for Reason. We launched some balloons, red balloons, 85 feet into the air to represent the height of what this building would be. We did this between 4 and 7 p.m. during the major crunch of the rush hour. And it was amazing, the support that we had from the commuters, both bike and motorized vehicle that were going by. People honking, waving, ringing their bells, stopping, asking what's going on. And the shock on some of those people's faces when they realized how tall that building really would be. And when we told them we were compromising at 65, some of them were even perplexed at that. But a lot of these people are just using that as a thoroughfare to get to their neighborhoods. And what I was seeing and hearing was they don't want this in their neighborhoods either. So I think at this point, this is where we need to stop and set a precedent. We're not downtown. As I remember, there's a big body of water that separates us from downtown. We're not downtown. We're not high density. I would ask you to go out and stand on the corner of Fremont and Williams and see how bad the traffic is with bikes and cars. It's horrible, and especially between those time periods. So adding even more, it's without better traffic control and putting limits on this density, it's just going to get worse. So, but again, I think we're reasonable. I think we're being very sensitive. And I hope that, you know, Mr. Kaiser can be the same. You know, we're looking forward to working with that and coming up to a good compromise. But again, there's a lot of people that couldn't be here today. And, you know, I hope to represent them for that reason.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Alan Rudwick. I'm the chairman of the Elliott Neighborhood Association, but I'm just representing myself today. Basically, you've heard everything you need to hear, that we haven't had a time to really negotiate over the height map, but if a decision needs to be made today, I think that something a lot closer to what the resident, and if you need to pick one of those two, I think it makes a lot more sense to pick what the residents are proposing than what Ben is proposing. It's still much greater density than what is currently allowed, and I think could be a great addition to our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you all. Anyone else?
That's all who signed up.
So, Mr. Kaiser, do you want an opportunity to respond or rebut any of what you've heard here? Sure. Give you a chance to do that and then have council discussion. We may have questions for the applicant as well. So.
Okay. Again, as we discussed last time, the neighborhood's concerns are all valid,
And I think we did make an honest attempt and outreach to kind of come to a compromise. And in Mr. Van Orden's testimony, when he said, when he quoted me as saying the odd demands of neighbors, I don't want that taken out of context. What I was speaking to is exactly what you brought up, Commissioner Fritz, is about, and these came through in a lot of the meetings, when they're asking for less than their own properties allow, when they're asking for a 30-foot corridor next to a 40-foot allowance. So all those homes that we're speaking about can, and in my opinion, in 50 to 100 years, will be torn down and will be 40-foot structures. So all the massing examples that we've seen today, I hope that we can all imagine that those aren't just single-family homes forever, but that that does fill in to the aspirations of us as a city. So, and if you imagine those massing models that we saw with 40-foot structures next to them, they become a lot less imposing than they do today with a story-and-a-half house next to them. And when I mentioned about downtown being one-time houses, it was one-time houses. And when I talk about odd demands, I'm glad that we as a downtown did not have to abide by step-down requirements from every single-family house in the downtown core. So when we have these regions spreading out from the core, kind of in a radial plan, trying to fulfill these aspirations of a city, of these 20-minute neighborhoods and dense corridors, work-live environments close to shopping and recreation spots, those can't all be achieved with step-down requirements on every single, stepping away from every single family residence. I think it would also be an odd outcome, pretty prescriptive, that would have a deleterious effect on the city landscape. And also in regard to Mr. Warwick, please remember that he was a proponent last time we all met, and is on testimony supporting the project, and he was actually the one who originally required that I seek an RX zone for this site, and we never discussed height, and he acknowledged that today, that we did not discuss height. It wasn't until well into the zoning process, which, as you know, is a long, public, expensive process, that we even realized the potential of an RX site as opposed to the EX site. So that was not part of the original discussions. I also want to say that we're talking about kind of public policy going forward, and what we're seeing here, Commissioner Fritz, this is now your bureau, so what we had was the best people kind of reviewing this zone change application, from the hearings officer to the planner, and they all came to realize that the RX is a good designation for this zone and does abide by the large majority of the comprehensive plan aspirations. So if we undermine that, and if we undermine that process and that policy and that public discussion moving forward, we're undermining quite a bit. And I'd say that let's take a look at the compromises that we have put in place beyond the RX. So I would debate a bit with Mr. Van Orden that we haven't compromised, because if you look at what RX is zero setbacks, 100-foot height limits, and that's not at all what we're asking for today. We have quite a few restrictions, and I think from what I've heard to date from staff, it's the most restricted project to date that they've seen. So we're taking a zoning and putting more restrictions than anybody's ever placed on a zoning approval yet. And that is compromise, in my opinion. It's good compromise, and I think we left the last meeting very positive, and I think that's because we did make great strides even before that point, and I think we've even made more since that point. So, and all this is to say that, and never have I stated that I'm going to build an 85-foot tall structure there, as we discussed last time. When you go to those heights, the whole project changes. All I'm saying is we're speaking about not only policy going forward, but also ability and flexibility for the project to be the best and most successful for the neighborhood that's here with us today. So whether it ends up at 65 feet or 85 feet, we won't know until we do the massing that is appropriate for the area. And that is a long process, and as we've all agreed to, that's a design review process, and we've talked a lot about the public interaction that's going to be through that process. So I just ask, I guess, to let the structure in place in our city, which is renowned the world around for its urban planning and acknowledgement of these exact topics, to work its way out and to, like I say, not be dismantled each time a particular homeowner or two or a number feels that they're being taken advantage of, because that's not at all the case here or in the majority of the situations I've heard. So thank you.
Just add, we had basically two different diagrams that were presented to us from the neighborhood. One of them by Paul, I believe, about a week ago, which had a 30-foot wide zone that was 65-foot high along Williams, which is frankly unbuildable. The second one that you saw today was presented, I believe, Tuesday of this last week, this week. It was after we'd had already four meetings and other information. So I would also like to point out that I think you can see from how this aligns with my written testimony that, again, people's positions have changed over the 2 weeks, specifically like Mike Warwick and the land use that came in support. They had every option to recommend a condition when they came to you last time, and they did not. They were in support of the full RX zone. They have changed their position over that period of time. People had talked about the 85 feet height in meetings and said that under certain conditions it would be acceptable. The conditions in which it would be acceptable were never clear in the discussion. I'd like to finalize by again pointing out the discussion of kind of the confluence of the design aspects and the zoning aspects of this. Obviously, what they've shown you here is shadow studies of the maximum buildable potential area. Now, the maximum buildable potential area is in no way the building, unless you shrink that maximum buildable potential down to the elements of the VAR. It's largely been discredited, the kind of ziggurat or layer cake to design standards. They used to do that in a lot of the large cities. It creates really bad design. Really, the best design is providing an envelope from which you can push and pull the building in order to make sure that those shadows work out to the best advantage, to make sure that the massing works with the neighborhoods to the best advantage. 30-foot high massing obviously does not allow a whole lot of flexibility on things like pitched roofs and back ADUs and things of that nature that would be allowed at something like a 40 or 45 foot. That height allows a flexibility. Again, it's our position that we've got some pretty serious process here with a design advice request and a design review to do what Elise said, which is to carry on that conversation and with more appropriate detail at that time, and with people that are experienced in those aspects of the process.
Thank you. Questions from the applicant? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm going to close the hearing and open it for council discussion.
A couple questions for staff.
Questions for staff. Come on up.
Douglas. Could I just add a couple of comments, just
in
response to the primarily to the PowerPoint? I guess I would redirect council back to what the approval criteria are for the review. The approval criteria require council to look at all the comprehensive plan goals and policies and it's indicated in the hearings officer's recommendation there were 75 goals and policies that were evaluated for this proposal. The hearings officer found that all but two of those 75 goals and policies were equally or better met with the proposed RX zoning. And I think what some of the 3D pictorial that we saw, that it may be misleading, and I think the applicant addressed it to some degree. But what we have to look at is, or what the council needs to look at, is the broader context of this particular proposal. We're not solely looking at the R2 zone. That is important. But we're also looking at this very urban corridor of the Williams-Vancouver corridor. What the 3D pictorial didn't identify, it did show the full build-out of the applicant site. It didn't show the full build-out of all the other zones around it. So it didn't identify the 65-foot allowed along the entire corridor. It didn't show the allowed 40-foot height in the R2 multi-dwelling zone. And I think it's important to, again, just look at this proposal in the broader context of how does this fit into the broader context of the neighborhood, the urban Williams-Vancouver corridor. Also, in terms of one of the pictorials, probably several of the 3D pictorials, what we're talking about in terms of the heights, those are solely looking at the absolute heights. What the applicant would still need to meet is the maximum 4-to-1 floor area ratio on these properties, on this property. So it's not likely, for example, that you could do the full 65 feet all the way across the Williams Avenue frontage, as was identified, then stepping down to the 45 and then to the 30. It's not likely that you could get all those heights and still meet the 4-to-1 FAR. I haven't obviously done the calculations on that, but by looking at it, it looks like it likely exceeds that 4-to-1 FAR. So I just felt it was important to sort of put this into the broader context of what we as the city are trying to do through our comprehensive plan.
So it was Ms. Munson made a statement that massing isn't considered by the Design Review Commission. I was just wondering, I think of Design Review as having quite a bit of sway over a project, what it looks like. And
yes,
maybe it's not the massing blocks it deals with directly, but they do have a way to certainly control how the building or development interacts with
right.
all the other elements out
right.
there.
Right. So for the... Because this would be required if you approve it with a condition of the Type 2 design review, the proposal would have to meet what are called the community design guidelines. And one of the specific guidelines is termed blending into the neighborhood. So one of the factors that is looked at in terms of addressing that particular design guideline is exactly what has been discussed of we have this higher density, higher heights allowed in the RX. We've got the 40-foot height allowed in the abutting zone. How do you best blend those two, and still meet that required design guideline of, blending into the neighborhood?
This does have to go to the Design Review Commission.
No. Sort of twofold. Through the conditions of approval, number one, it would go to the Design Commission for the design advice request. That's an important point in that it allows the full Design Commission to review the proposal, at least in concept, and to help inform the design review that would follow. There is public testimony taken at the design advice request. And the intent is to really allow the Design Commission to, very early in the process, really inform the applicant as well as the BDS design staff who would be ultimately reviewing the Type 2 review in terms of here are some red flags we need to look at. Once past the design advice request, it would go through a Type 2 design review. That is a staff review. But there is an appeal to the Design Commission for that.
Neighborhood Association has access to, right?
Right. The Neighborhood Association would have a free appeal to the Design Commission on appeal.
And then my second question was about solar access. Does our solar access ordinance, is it about access for solar energy, or is it about just access for sunlight purposes?
Well, that's an interesting point. Currently in the zoning code, there is no solar access requirements for development. At one point in time, probably 10, 15 years ago, we had a solar access requirement. It was taken out of the zoning code
over my strenuous objections.
For what reasons? I can't speak to, but today there is no solar access requirement.
Okay, I didn't
requirement.
Know that. Okay, that was my question.
All right, any other questions for Doug?
I just want to say thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So is anyone ready to make a motion?
I am.
Okay.
And I appreciate the dialogue that's gone on. Mr. Kaiser, you mentioned that we should honor the work that the staff has done, and indeed I do. However, it's also our job as elected officials to listen to all sides at this hearing. And a comprehensive plan zone change isn't by right. It's something that we need to look at. And as we discussed in the last hearing, it seems we don't have a zone that actually does what we want it to do on this one. And so we're cobbling together, at least I'm proposing that we cobble together the best or the most appropriate of the EX and the R1 zones for this, and the RH zones for this site. The policy that I find compelling in the Albina Community Plan is Policy B of the Land Use Policy Objective 3, which says review new infill development to ensure that it reinforces the neighborhood's positive characteristics. And also, there's a lot of talk about owner-occupied units, which these aren't. And Objective 3 of the Housing Policy Home Ownership says, provide opportunities for home ownership for Albina residents, emphasize infill development that accommodates owner occupancy and is compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. I believe that the proposal is good in terms of the ground floor retail and the added density. However, I believe the height of 85 is too high in the northwest corner. So my motion is to approve the zone change with the revised conditions, with the exception of amending condition 5, which says the maximum height of development on the site shall be limited to that identified in Exhibit I-1, adding, except that the height limit shall be 65 feet in the northwest corner.
Okay, so the remainder of Exhibit I-1 would be attached, but you would remove the...
Remove the 85 feet
and impose a 65-foot limit overall. Okay, is there a second to that motion? If not, or if you...
Somebody else will need to propose them.
I'll move adoption of the hearings officer's recommendations with the conditions that were submitted to us in the June 27th memo. The conditions on the map.
All right, is there a second to that motion?
Yes, second.
Okay. Further discussion? And then let's take a roll call on that motion.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate both sides. This is really, it's a tough decision, but I do feel that I think we have a good developer at the table, a diligent neighborhood, and the fact that this is subject to further review by both the Bureau of Development Services and ultimately appealable to the Design Commission itself, to me, ensures this is going to be a quality project that will ultimately blend in with the neighborhood. And as to whether something that goes 85 feet is too high for the east side of the river, I guess I just don't buy that. This is part of, I think as Mr. Kaiser pointed out, we have to look towards the future. Williams Avenue, Vancouver Avenue are both corridors slated for density, and I think this is the type of project that suits the bill here. And I think the testimony about how this may help with the rental market is something that's not lost on me either. It's important to have affordable rental housing in our city. So those are the reasons that I'm voting aye.
Novick?
This is a tough issue, and I appreciate the hard work and the advocacy on all sides. My inclination is to defer to staff's hard work and thought and recommendation, and also generally err in the direction of density, largely because we are in the process of frying our planet like a grilled cheese sandwich, and greater density is part of the solution to that problem. Solar power is a fine thing, but one of the major ways we are going to reduce our energy use is to have greater density. And I think in this context, and the difference between 65 and 85 feet in part of this project, to me, is not as compelling as the need to err in favor of greater density where that seems reasonable. Aye.
Fritz.
Fremont is nowhere near downtown. It's way north. And the 44 bus that goes up Williams is not a frequent bus service, which I know because it also goes deep southwest to where I live. And we'll betide you if you miss the one that's coming home late at night or if you don't have a job that allows you to work downtown during rush hour, coming in and out during rush hour. So I am disappointed with this outcome. I think that this is not in the scale that's compatible with the Albina Community Plan. I appreciate the work that's been done and the allowance for commercial on the ground floor. However, I cannot support the height of 85 feet. No.
Hales.
Well, I'm sad because I thought we were very close to agreement at the last hearing, and yet I think we still are, even though there is this difference of opinion about the 85 feet at the corner. I think what's really going on here are a couple of things. One, we have a lot of work to do in our plan and our code to make sure that we accomplish this uncomfortable thing of adding density in places where it makes sense in a way that it fits into the neighborhood context, and that's what those plan provisions that Commissioner Fritz just cited are supposed to do. We're not there yet in terms of how the underlying zoning and the code works on a day-to-day basis. Actually, in this case, with these extra conditions, requiring the design advice stage, sending this to Type 2 design review, we're putting more belts and suspenders on this particular development than are in place for virtually anything else that happens in the city. And it just shows how, one, we're all nervous about this change, and two, that we need better tools than we have. I think in this case, with this particular applicant and this particular sophisticated neighborhood that understands the plan and the code and the design review process, that I'll be very surprised if we don't get to a good outcome in terms of a project that actually meets all these objectives quite well, maybe not to everyone's satisfaction, but quite well. This isn't the Pearl District, so don't get nervous when I use this example. But after a while in the development of the Pearl District, the neighborhood came to the city council, not when I was here, and said, raise the height limit, because all we're getting is 65-foot buildings. So that the point of that story is not that we want to make Elliott into the Pearl District. Please know I'm not saying that. But that design matters, and we're directing this particular project into the design review process, and that's probably where these details can better be sanded to smooth than we can here at the front end without even a design in front of the council. So I'm going to support the staff recommendation. And again, hope and expect that this applicant will bend over backwards to meet the concerns of the neighborhood in the design process, and that the design review process will make sure that they do. Aye. And then we have to also act on the second item, which is the map designation, right? Or are they second single motion for both? Tell me what, Kathy.
I think procedurally where we are is by approving the staff's proposed conditions, you have effectively directed that those be added to the ordinance before you. I think the staff is going to need to modify the hearings officer's report to reflect the procedural history that's what's happened since the hearings officer ruled on this and add the conditions. So my recommendation is to continue the report and continue the ordinance to next week.
For this second reading?
For a second reading and vote on both. Right.
So this will come back for second, not a continuation of the hearing, but for a second reading.
Correct.
So motion's adopted and we're back for second reading in a week.
Oh, that's July 4th.
Oh, that's
In 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
How about on the second one for the map amendment? Do we vote separately on that?
July 3rd.
The map amendment. One item is the hearings officer's report. The second item is the ordinance that actually makes the map amendment. The report should just travel along with the ordinance so that you're voting on both in 2 weeks.
So you can return on July 3rd with both of these, I assume, right? There's not a lot of...
Next
Wednesday.
Are you?
Okay. Let's do it next Wednesday then.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thank you all. Now, we have a few more items this afternoon.